So we're continuing our hearing and chanting marathon. It's going on, as recommended by Rupa Goswami, 24 hours a day. Tanamarupa charitari sukirtananu smrityo kramena rasana manasinioja tishtan raje tararagi tananagami kalam nayet akilam ityupadesha sadam. Upadesh means advice. And the saram, or the cream, the essence of all advice, Rupa Goswami says, is that one should arrange one's life so that he or she can hear and chant about Krishna 24 hours a day. How's that sound? Jai. See, now there's a devotee. The devotee says, when you think of, you get an opportunity to hear and chant, which is rare nowadays, because things are, life's very busy in this age when we have so many time-saving devices. We don't have time enough because we have to take care of them all. To find time to hear and chant is very rare in this age. But by Krishna, if Krishna blesses us, we can get more and more time to serve him, to hear and chant. So this is the essence of all advice, to arrange one's life so that you can always be in contact with the spiritual vibration. And this is the secret, how you can always be happy. So continuing on with the our bhajan program, I want to read a little bit from the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, because this is a favorite chapter here at ISV of all the devotees. How many devotees know this chapter all the way through, have memorized this chapter? Raise your hands. Let's see. Okay. One. So this is a nice chapter you can memorize because it's only 20 verses. And it only takes a few minutes a day to go through this. Is this a verse? Is this a chapter you do regularly, Ramaswamy?
No, not these days, but in the past I
do. In the past you've concentrated on 15. Okay. Does anybody know anything about the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita? Just off the top of your head, it doesn't, you know, if you know anything, any wisdom you can give us, little preview of what the 15th chapter is about. Anything at all. Raksha Prabhu, please, let's use the microphone so everyone can hear. We'll pass it around. What's the 15th chapter about? A little bit? Something? Anything?
Some of the salient main points of the 15th chapter is it is in the 15th chapter that Krishna is declaring that the living entity is a part and parcel of me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but that he is struggling in this material world because he has become conditioned. And then Krishna also goes on to say in the 15th chapter the process of conditioning, how one has caught up in the cycle of birth and death. And he says in some of the key verses there that depending on one's desire and one's conception that one has in this life, based on that, one will get a body in the next life. As one is desiring something in this life, he or she will be given a body that is consistent with that desire. Even the facial features of the person and the person's actions that have been conducted in this material world, based on that, they will get a body and they will be associated with the modes of material nature by which their actions they have performed. And then Krishna also goes on to say in the chapter that know that there are several energies of mind. There is the material energy, which is my external energy. There is the living entity, whom he has already called a part and parcel. He says that is my marginal energy. And know that beyond this, there is another supreme being, and that is me, and I am the Purushottama, who is higher than the living entity as well as material energy. So it is about Purushottama that this chapter is focused on.
Therefore called Purushottam Yoga.
Purushottam Yoga.
Thank you very much. Give him a hand. That was a nice summary. What other points about the 15 chapters somebody know? Ramaswamy could probably say something. He's familiar with this. Give him the mic. And we're talking about the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. How many verses are in the 15th chapter? Who knows? 20 verses, right. What other chapter in the Bhagavad Gita has 20 verses? 12th chapter, very good. So those are the two shortest chapters in the Bhagavad Gita. Okay, go ahead.
The 15th chapter starts by comparing this material world to a aswatha tree, which has got its roots upward, but its branches down. And the living entity, it compares the Vedas to its leaves, and the living entity is just go on jumping from one branch to another branch, without not knowing where they're actually going. Another thing is, it also says how living entity passes from one life to another, carrying its mental state, just like air carries aromas from one place to another. And he says that Krishna also says that. When he gives a description of the spiritual world, he says that that world is not illumined by the sun or moon, nor by fire and electricity, and those who reach there never return to this material world.
Nice information. Thank you very much. Anybody
else have any information that you know already from the Bhagavad Gita chapter 15?
I know one sloka.
Yes, he knows a sloka. Give him the thing.
Yeah.
Here you go, right behind you. Give us a sloka.
Mamai vanso jiva loke jiva vada sanatanam manashashidriyani prakuchani kashati. That means all living entities are parts and parts of the Supreme Personality. Even Lord Brahma and Shiva and Vishnu also are part of the Supreme Personality. Sloka clearly says that if you control your mind is the chief agent. If you control mind is in good mood, you will do all good activities. If mind is not in good mood, you will do all sinful activities. And so my purpose of this sloka is if you control your mind, so you can get liberated from this material life.
Well, the mind can be the best friend or the worst enemy, also Krishna says in the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Thank you very much. Hari Bol. This is a nice point he brought up. What is your name?
Bharat.
Hare Krishna Bharatji. That Bharatji has brought up this point about the mind. The central point of yoga, first and foremost, one must control the mind. The mind is the reservoir of all changes. What I wanted when I was a child, I no longer want anymore. What I wanted 2 years ago, I no longer want anymore. Why? Because I changed my mind. I thought it would be a good idea to have certain toys when I was a kid, and I really wanted them, but now I don't want them anymore. The mind's always changing, going through many changes, and the mind can drag us from one place to the next. So the goal of yoga is to fix the mind on Krishna. Manmana bhava mad bhakto, Krishna says. The mind must be fixed on him, to think of him in love. And it's natural if one loves somebody that you think of him, right? Or her. It's the mind just automatically goes there. You don't even have to force it. In fact, you can't help it. So in bhakti yoga, the Krishna is so attractive that if we apply our minds to hearing about him and chanting his glories, then naturally, through purification, the mind will come to be attracted to Krishna, to chase after Krishna. In fact, in the Brahma Sanhita, it's mentioned that this Gayatri Mantra, which one can receive through initiation in the disciplic succession. It's so powerful that the tendency of the Gayatri Mantra is to make one's mind run after Krishna, to make one want to chase after Krishna. So the mind has to be fixed. So let's hear the shlokas from this 20th, from this 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, and we can each, let's see, let's read, we'll have several readers and we'll read four shlokas each, and I'll start and then we can go around and everyone else read four. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "It is said that there's an imperishable banyan tree that has its roots upward and its branches down, and whose leaves are the Vedic hymns. One who knows this tree is the knower of the Vedas. The branches of this tree extend downward and upward, nourished by the three modes of material nature. The twigs are the objects of the senses. This tree also has roots going down, and these are bound to the fruit of actions of human society. The real form of this tree cannot be perceived in this world. No one can understand where it ends, where it begins, or where its foundation is. But with determination, one must cut down this strongly rooted tree with the weapon of detachment. Thereafter, one must seek that place from which, having gone, one never returns, and there surrender to that Supreme Personality of Godhead, from whom everything began and from whom everything has extended since time immemorial." Who's next? Give him the mic.
Here.
Here you go.
Those who are free from false prestige, illusion, and false association, who understand the eternal, who are done with the material lust, who are free from the dualities of happiness and distress, and who, unbewildered, know how to surrender unto the Supreme Person, attain to the eternal kingdom. That supreme abode of mind is not illuminated by the sun or moon, nor by the fire or electricity. Those who reach it never return to this material world. The living entities in this conditioned world are my eternal fragmental parts. Due to conditioned life, they are struggling very hard with the six senses, which equal the mind. The living entity in the material world carries its different conceptions of life from one body to another, as the air carries aromas. Thus, he takes one kind of body and again quits it to take another.
Who's next?
The living entity, thus taking another gross body, obtains a certain type of ear, eye, tongue, nose, and sense of touch, which are grouped about the mind. He thus enjoys a particular set of sense objects. The foolish cannot understand how a living entity can quit his body, nor can they understand what sort of body he enjoys under the spell of the modes of nature. But one whose eyes are trained in knowledge can see all this. The endeavoring transcendentalists who are situated in self-realization can see all this clearly, but those whose minds are not developed and who are not situated in self-realization cannot see what is taking place, though they may try to. The splendor of the sun, which dissipates the darkness of this whole world, comes from me. And the splendor of the moon and the splendor of fire are also from me.
I enter into each planet, and by my energy they stay in orbit. I become the moon, and thereby supply the juice of life to all vegetables. I am the fire of digestion in the bodies of all living entities, and I join with the air of life, outgoing and incoming, to digest the four kinds of foodstuff. I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. By all the Vedas, I am to be known. Indeed, I am the compiler of Vedanta, and I am the knower of the Vedas. There are two classes of beings, the fallible and the infallible. In the material world, every living entity is fallible, and in the spiritual world, every living entity is called infallible.
Besides these two, there is the greatest living personality, the Supreme Soul, the impersonable Lord Himself, who has entered the three worlds and maintaining them. Because I am transcendental, beyond both the fallible and the infallible, because I am the greatest, I am celebrated both in the world and in Vedas as a Supreme Person. Whoever knows me as a Supreme Personality of Godhead, without doubting, is the knower of everything. He therefore engages himself in full devotional service to me, O son of Bharata. This is the most confidential part of Vedic scriptures, O sinless one, and is disclosed now by me. Whoever understands this will become wise, and his endeavors will know perfection.
Nice. Okay, and Srinivas Prabhu, which verse would you like to hear purport to? 7. Okay, let's read number 7. Okay. Yeah, let's give him the mic. He can do that. So, do we have some more Bhagavad Gitas for our guests that just walked in? There's some right here. Oh, there's more? Okay. There's a couple of book stands down here. Sorry for the delay. There you go. Okay, Prabhuji, go ahead. We're on page 637, text number 7. Read the Sanskrit and then the purport, and the translation and purport.
Read the Shloka.
Oh, yeah.
Mamai Vamsa Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana Mana Shashtani Indriyani Prakritisthani Karshati Mama Maya Eva Certainly Amshaha Fragmental particle, Jiva Loke, in the world of conditional life, Jiva Bhutaka, the conditioned living entity, Sanatana, eternal, Manaha, with the mind, Shashtani, the six, Indriyani, senses, Prakriti, in material nature, Sthani, situated, Karshati, is struggling hard. The living entities in this conditioned world are my eternal fragmental parts. Due to conditioned life, they are struggling very hard with the six senses, which include the mind. Purport. In this verse, the identity of the living being is clearly given. The living entity is a fragmental part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, eternally. It is not that he assumes individuality in his conditional life and in his liberated state becomes one with the Supreme Lord. He is eternally fragmented. It is clearly said, Sanatana. According to the Vedic version, the Supreme Lord manifests and expands himself in innumerable expansions, of which the primary expansions are called Vishnu Tattva, and the secondary expansions are called the living entities. In other words, the Vishnu Tattva is a personal expansion, and the living entities are the separated expansions. By his personal expansion, he is manifested in various forms like Lord Rama, Vrishimhadev, Vishnumurti, and all the predominating deities in the Vaikuntha paths. The separated expansions, the living entities, are eternally servitors. The personal expansions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the individual identities of the Godhead, are always present. Similarly, the separated expansions of living entities have their identities. As fragmental parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord, the living entities also have fragmental portions of his qualities, of which independence is one. Every living entity, as an individual soul, has his personal individuality and a minute form of independence. By misuse of that independence, one becomes a conditioned soul, and by proper use of independence, he is always liberated. In either case, he is qualitatively eternal as the Supreme Lord is. In his liberated state, he is free from this material condition, and he is under the engagement of transcendental service unto the Lord. In his conditioned life, he is dominated by the material modes of nature, and he forgets the transcendental service of the Lord. As a result, he has to struggle very hard to maintain his existence in the material world. The living entities, not only human beings and the cats and dogs, but even the greater controllers of the material world, Brahma, Lord Shiva, and even Vishnu, are all parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord. They are all eternal, not temporary manifestations. The word Karshati struggling or grappling hard is very significant. A conditioned soul is bound up as though shackled by iron chains. He is bound up by the false ego, and the mind is a chief agent which is driving him in this material existence. When the mind is in the mode of goodness, his activities are good. When the mind is in the mode of passion, his activities are troublesome. And when the mind is in the mode of ignorance, he travels in the lower species of life. It is clear, however, in this verse that the conditioned soul is covered by the material body, with the mind and the senses, and when he is liberated, this material covering perishes, but his spiritual body manifests itself in its individual capacity. The following information is there in the Madhyandinayana Shruti. Sava esha brahma nishta idam shariram martyam atisrajya brahmavisampatya brahmana pashyati brahmana shrunoti brahma naivedam sarvam anubhavati. It is stated here that when a living entity gives up this material embodiment and enters into the spiritual world, he revives his spiritual body, and in his spiritual body he can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. He can hear and speak to him face to face, and he can understand the Supreme Personality as he is. From Shruti also it is understood, Vasanti Yatra Purushaha Sarve Vaikuntha Murtayaha. In the spiritual planets, everyone lives in bodies featured like the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As far as bodily construction is concerned, there is no difference between the part and parcel living entities and the expansions of Vishnumurti. In other words, at liberation, the living entity gets a spiritual body by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The words, Mammai Vamsham, fragmental parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord, are also very significant. The fragmental portion of the Supreme Lord is not like some material broken part. We have already understood in the second chapter that the spirit cannot be cut into pieces. This fragment is not materially conceived. It is not like matter which can be cut into pieces and joined together again. That conception is not applicable here, because the Sanskrit word sanatana, eternal, is used. The fragmental portion is eternal. It is also stated in the beginning of the second chapter that in each and every individual body, the fragmental portion of the Supreme Lord is present. Dehinosmin yatha dehe. That fragmental portion, when liberated from the bodily entanglement, revives its original spiritual body in the spiritual sky, in a spiritual planet, and enjoys association with the Supreme Lord. It is, however, understood here that the living entity, being the fragmental part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, is qualitatively one with the Lord, just as the parts and parcels of gold are also gold.
Thank you very much. And why did you pick that that particular verse, Prabhuji?
I think I like that shloka.
Turn the mic on.
I like this shloka.
Why?
It's been resonating quite a lot whenever I listen to lectures.
When you listen to what?
Lectures.
You've heard it a lot.
Yeah, it's being repeated often, so I think that's why I like that shloka.
Nice. So, this karshati means struggling hard or grappling hard, that the living entity is struggling very hard with the material nature. And as Prabhuji pointed out over here, that the condition of the mind, this is also brought out in the purport, according to the condition of our mind, this will also put us into different conditions of life. So Krishna consciousness means to become freed from the influence of the modes of material nature and from all kinds of designations. Sarva upadhi. The upadhis means the designations where I identify myself as being American or as a human being or a dog or a cat. The spirit soul actually is an eternal part and parcel of God. None of us were here in these bodies 100 years ago, correct? None of us will be here in 100 years in these bodies, correct? And now here we are for some time, but we're identifying and thinking, I'm an American, I'm an Indian, I'm a Czechoslovakian. Everyone has some designation. These are temporary designations, actually. Our eternal designation is that we're part and parcel of Krishna, and we're eternal servants of Krishna. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur in one of his songs says, Jeev Krishna Das A Bishwash Korleto or Dukonai, that if you want to become freed from all unhappiness, then realize this one thing, that you are a servant of Krishna, Jeev Krishna Das. All other kinds of designations will not help us because they're only temporary. Nasato vidite bhavo, nabhavo vidite sata, ubayor apitrishtontas twanayos tatvadarshibi. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, those things which are eternal, they never change. And those things which are temporary, they're always moving, they're always changing. And those who are seers of the truth, they identify with the eternal things and not with the temporary things. Because by identifying with the temporary things, we become bewildered. It's like a changing movie before our eyes. You walk into the movie theater and you sit down, and now the characters come on the screen and the lights go out, of course, and then you begin to observe a play taking place. And now you're crying because the people have separated, and someone, your favorite character, has been killed, and then you're laughing and you become happy because someone else has been reunited. And in this way, you know, you go through different emotions, and then the lights come on and, oh, I'm not actually part of that movie. Right? Some movies are like that, aren't they? I know some people, they see some very, like in some plays Shakespeare has done, it's going to be very shocking. I remember as a kid, my parents took me to some Shakespeare plays, and some of them were so gory, as Shakespeare tends to be, that you know, I'd be shocked. I'd feel shocked by being in there and come out with, you know, with a feeling of horror or something. So because we're identifying with a particular scene or movie, we become affected by it. And that's the temporary moving movie of this lifetime that we're going through. So if we identify ourselves, however, as servants of Krishna, then we'll not suffer or enjoy these temporary pleasures of this world, but we'll actually be situated in our real position, our eternal position. And this is the beginning of spiritual life, actually, to understand I'm not my body. I'm a spirit soul. And the cultivation of spiritual life means that we should feel that we're becoming more and more detached from this bodily conception of life and more attached to the spiritual conception of life. And it's just like when somebody eats food who's very hungry, he or she knows for themselves that they're becoming full. You don't need to have a certificate from someone else. You feel it for yourself. And similarly, you'll feel satisfaction and you'll feel nourishment. So real spiritual life means that we'll actually experience it for ourselves. We'll feel advancement. And this requires, the Srimad Bhagavatam says, unmotivated and uninterrupted practice of contact with spiritual life, especially what we talked about before through Shravanam Kirtanam. So, Savai Pum Samparo Dharmo Yato Bhaktir Hoksaje Ahaituki Apratiyata Yayatma Supratsiditi. The supreme religion or dharma activity, eternal activity for the soul, is that by which we can become connected to Krishna. Savai Pum Samparo Dharmo, the Paro Dharmo, the supreme dharma or activity, Yato Bhaktir Hoksaje, is bhakti, or devotional service to the Supreme. And in order to satisfy the self, actually, it has to be unmotivated and uninterrupted. So this is a great formula for understanding real spiritual life. There are many different kinds of religions in the world and many different types of philosophies, but the Srimad Bhagavatam gives this basic understanding that you must have unmotivated and uninterrupted service to God in order to actually feel that advancement in spiritual life. So we can practice that ourselves by taking up what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given, the formula, especially, as Rakshit Prabhu mentioned a little bit earlier, by chanting Hare Krishna. This is the formula, especially for this age of Kali Yuga, in which there are always disturbances. Am I right? Is there disturbances going on right now? I just want to test if my theory is correct. Yes, let me see. There are disturbances. So there are always disturbances in the age of Kali Yuga. In fact, it's described, Manda Sumanna Matayo Manda Pagya Hipadrita, that in the Iron Age of Kali, men are but short lives. They are quarrelsome, lazy, unlucky, and above all, always disturbed. There's always some disturbance in the age of Kali Yuga. You know one of the main causes of disturbance in the age of Kali Yuga? Leaf blowers. Everywhere you go on the planet, there's leaf blowers. Does it bother you or just me? You go for a walk anytime, and there's always some leaf blower going, ring, ring. By my house at 5:15 every Friday next door, the gardener comes to the next door neighbors with a leaf blower that's louder than any leaf blower in the city and starts it up for half an hour. Everything, practically, you have to batten down all the hatches. But anywhere you go, you'll find disturbances in the age of Kali. Therefore, Kali dosha nide rajan astya heko mahanguna. This Kali is an ocean of faults, ocean of disturbance for spiritual life. Very difficult. And people are quarrelsome in this age. You know, no one wants to submit. Everyone has some contrary idea and always fighting over these petty things. Prabhupada gave the example about this petty fighting. He said, once there were these two men walking down by the side of a lake, and they saw a piece of paper lying on the ground, and it had some kind of a tear in it, a separation. And one man postulated that it was made like that by a pair of scissors. And the other man said, no, definitely it was a knife. And then we said, no, scissors, knife, scissors, knife, scissors, knife, snivers, knife, back, forth, back, forth. So then the man that was claiming knife, he grabbed the other man and overpowered him and he pushed him into the water. He said, say that it was a knife. And the other man said, scissors, scissors, scissors. And the knife man grabbed him by the shoulders and pushed his head under the water. And now he was drowning and bubbles were coming up to the top. And so as the bubbles came up to the top and he was drowning, he thrust his hand above the water and he went like this. So these quarrels go on all over the planet. Disturbances are constant in the age of Kali due to technology. Technology is always there to disturb. You can be in an assembly anywhere on the planet nowadays, I guarantee you, and a cell phone will go off. We've had one go off tonight. By the way, it is a $5 fine here at ISB. You have to buy an Isha Upanishad. It's on the honor system. But this disturbance going everywhere. Therefore, this age of Kali Yuga, it's an ocean of faults. But there's one great thing about it. You can overcome all those faults and you can cross the ocean by one means, and that is by Sankirtan, by chanting the Lord's names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Therefore, the Brihat Naradiya Purana says, Hare Nam, Hare Nam, Hare Nam, Eva Kevalam, Kalau Nasteva, 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 Gatiranyata. That in this age of Kali Yuga, there's no other way, there's no other way, there's no other way for deliverance except by chanting the holy names, chanting the holy names, chanting the holy names. Not by meditation, not by any kind of speculative knowledge, not by karma yoga, but by chanting the holy names of the Lord. This is the prescribed method in the age of Kali Yuga, by chanting Hare Krishna mantra, Maha Mantra. So to make tangible progress in spiritual life, one thing is required, and that is to practice repeating the name of God. The name of God is non-different from God Himself. It is all sacred. It's all perfect. Om Purnam Adak Purnam Idam Purnat Purnam Udachate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnam Eva Vishishite. The personality of God, it is perfect and complete. And because He is completely perfect, all emanations from Him, such as this phenomenal world, are perfectly equipped as complete wholes. Whatever is produced of the complete whole is complete in itself. And even though so many complete units emanate from the Supreme Complete, he remains the complete balance. And he's in his name. So all forms of incompleteness that we feel in this lifetime, at any time, at any moment, are due to not being in contact with the complete whole. And the way to be in contact with the complete whole at every minute, at every time in our life, is by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So the purpose of this International Society for Krishna Consciousness is to spread this knowledge and provide a place where devotees can come and practice it and attain perfection in life. It is not a sectarian religion. It is a universal process which is meant for people of all backgrounds, all genders, all political backgrounds, all social backgrounds. It doesn't matter. Everyone can take part. Even animals, actually, can take part in this. Even though we said earlier that animals can't take... Didn't we say that earlier? We said, right, in the beginning? But actually, even animals can be benefited. See? Guarantee you notice. You'll notice that there's always disturbance. But it can be overcome. Even animals can take to spiritual life by hearing the vibration of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was present, and the Kazi, you know, they were living at a time 500 years ago in India. It was very dangerous, actually. The Muslims who were ruling at the time it could be very formidable. And the devotees who were trying to practice, sometimes they would be jailed, sometimes they would be punished, sometimes they would be killed even. Temples were smashed. All these types of things were happening. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was told that Srivas Pandit was in danger, Srivas Pandit was one of the great devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that the Kazi was going to send some men because they were having kirtan at Srivas Pandit's house. He said they were going to send some police constables to come and take his house and float it down the river and arrest everyone and take them away. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Don't worry." He said, "I will prevent them from doing that. I'm the super soul within everyone's heart. And I will instruct them from within their hearts not to come." And he said, "But if they go against that order, even of the super soul, then when they come, I will challenge them. I will challenge the Kazi personally. And I'll tell him that we will find out whose process, your process that you're teaching of religion, or this process of Harinam Sankirtan is all powerful." He said, "You can bring your greatest mullahs and to read from the Quran to the animals and see if they'll cry." And then he said, "Then we will bring, you can bring all the animals and I will chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and you'll see that they'll begin to cry." He said, "I will challenge him like this." And then there was one small girl there, just a young baby almost. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told her, "Chant Hare Krishna." And she began to chant Hare Krishna and weep in spiritual ecstasy. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was giving this type of prema to everyone. It was all powerful. And showing that this is the process for the age of Kali Yuga, simply chanting the holy names of the Lord. So even though there's always disturbance in the age of Kali Yuga, there's disturbance to the mind, to the body, to the senses, they're never satisfied, we can take shelter in this one thing, the chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So the purpose of this society is to cultivate this chanting and to spread it all over the world, to make it available to as many people as possible in many different ways, through distributing literature, through introducing the chanting in public. And you'll be happy to know that through this chanting that we're doing in public, like we go at least once a month to Palo Alto. We've been going for the last few years to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in public. How many of you that are here have been out for a public Harinam Sankirtan performance? Raise your hand. Oh, that's nice. that I invite everyone else who hasn't been, you could come next time. It'll be on the 19th of this month. We're having another public Harinam performance in Palo Alto. But we're finding many, many people who are hearing this chanting. They're inquiring. They're calling us. They're coming here to find out more about it. Because this chanting is all attractive. When people hear it in public, they don't know what it is, but they know it's something wonderful. You know, we have young people that are in college and things. They're walking along the street, and they'll hear the chanting. They'll see the devotees dancing and smiling, and they'll think, this is something unusual. And they want to join in with the chanting. Some of them come in and they dance and they chant also. And they become attracted. Just by this, chanting Hare Krishna, because it's the incarnation of Krishna, we will be able to help people everywhere, all over the world. And we ourselves, by participating in this, will receive the highest benediction in life. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam. Just by Sankirtan, we'll be victorious over all the ills in life. Hare Krishna. Any question? Yes, how can I join the Sankirtan party? I have a question. How can I become more involved with the Sankirtan? Can I also become come to the Harinam Sankirtan? Any other questions? The answer is yes. Everyone's welcome. You can come and join for the Harinam Sankirtan party. Ask any of the devotees who are here that can help you. We have once a month, if you're not on our mailing list, to come to the Harinam Sankirtan. You can get on the mailing list and we'll let you know when it's happening. But come out and join us one time to chant Hare Krishna and show the more people that come out, the chanting is very loud and it's very impressive. We'd like to hear it. Would anybody like to come next time? Bali Prabhu's coming. Bali made one sign. It's got the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra on it and a picture of Lord Chaitanya. We hold it up and people are very attracted. They see that picture of Lord Chaitanya, they hear the chanting, and we go around, we go down the sidewalk and up the other side, and there's a park that we chant in there. So if you come to this Harinam Sankirtan, you'll find for yourself, we pass out prasadam to people walking by, and there's a book table like this book table here. And the devotees, people come, they line up at the book table. They want to know, what is all this? Jitendra, he comes and dances at the Harinam Sankirtan, right? He's our... in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan party, he had designated singers, and he had designated dancers, the designated madanga players. Jitendra is our designated dancer. He's one of our best dancers here at ISV. So this is real life, to come and chant and dance and to give out Krishna prasadam. So as you can tell, I'm urging everyone, please come. Please come on the Harinam Sankirtan. This is real life. What else is going on in the world nowadays? People are broadcasting about Coca-Cola or broadcasting about a faster computer chip or something. But these things don't make happiness. But Harinam Sankirtan, this will make people actually happy. People feel satisfied. So my call to action tonight is join the Harinam Sankirtan party. Just come out on a Friday night with us and chant Hare Krishna. You can bring the kids. The kids love it. It's more fun than anything else to come out on the Harinam Sankirtan. You can help pass out cookies. We pass out flyers so people can find where we live and come here. And chant the holy names and you'll feel happy. Is that okay? Who would like to come on Harinam Sankirtan? Jai, Hare Krishna. Okay. Raise your hand if you'd like to come. Okay. So see us afterwards if you're not on our mailing list to come on the Harinam Sankirtan, and we'll make sure that you get a call or an email so that you know we can come. Thank you very much, everyone, for coming tonight. These programs go on regularly on Wednesday nights. We start at 6 o'clock p.m. And on Saturday morning, come for the sunrise meditation. We'll start at 7:30 a.m. on Saturday. And then, of course, Sundays we have this regular program. And now we'll have our Artik ceremony. We'll be offering Artik to Sri Sri Radha Madan Mohan, Mahaprabhu, and Sri Sri Lakshmi Nisringadev. And then afterwards, we've prepared a prasadam feast for everyone. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Gop Premanande. Hare Bol. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai. Gaur Bhaktivrinda ki. Jai.